God's people, let's all stand together for a scripture reading. Tonight, our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, starting from verse 30 to 46. And my text for the sermon this evening will be Genesis chapter 44. But first, Matthew 26, starting from verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I will go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Now turn the pages of the scripture in your hand to Genesis 44. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I will refresh your mind as we go through the preaching of the Word of God tonight about the content of the story, but I'm going to read starting from verse 14. "When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there. They fell before him to the ground. Joseph said to them, 'What deed is this that you have done? Do you not know that a man like me can indeed practice divination?' And Judah said, 'What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, in whose hand the cup has been found.' But he said, 'Far be it from me that I should do so. Only the man in whose hand the cup was found shall be my servant. But as for you, go up in peace to your father.' Then Judah went up to him and said, 'Oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not your anger burn against your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we say to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a young brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you say to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. We say to my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. Then you say to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again. When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord, and when our father said, go again, buy us a little food, we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother goes with us. Then we will go down. For we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. One left me, and I said, surely he has been torn to pieces. And I have never seen him since. If you take this one also from me, and harm happens to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in evil to Sheol. Now therefore, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, the boy is not with us. Then, as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servant will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. But how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of His holy and infallible word in the heart of each and every one of us. Our Father and our God, as we now come to the preaching of Your word, we ask You to illumine our hearts and our minds so that we will be able to understand the message of Your word. Help each and every one of us to join Your servant Samuel in saying, Lord, speak to Your people. Your people are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before I proceed with the preaching of the Word of God once again, I would like to tell you how delightful and thankful to the Lord we have been, myself and Pastor Malaku and his wife and his children, but also my son Josiah. We are very thankful to the Lord for the privilege that He have given us to spend this day of worship and rest together with you. We are very thankful to the Banded Words and for the gracious hospitality and sweet time of fellowship that we have with the family, but also with other believers who have been invited to the house for fellowship. Children, I assume that you remember the story of Joseph's silver cup. The silver cup that Joseph hid in the sacks of one of his brothers in order to hold his brothers responsible for the loss of the silver cup. Tonight we are considering the story of that silver cup to learn and discover what Joseph accomplished through the hiding of the silver cup in the sack of his brother Benjamin. You know, every time people hear that story, what Joseph did to his brothers, often the immediate response or reaction that people express, the usual one, is this. In the book of Genesis, if Joseph is the type of Christ, if Joseph is the picture of the love and the ministry of Jesus Christ, what he did with the silver cup, what he did to his brothers by hiding the silver cup in the sack of one of his brothers, his youngest brother, was out of character. It doesn't reflect, it doesn't represent the loving and gentle and kind heart and behavior and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what most of the time people ask. At least they have asked that question to me many times. And tonight I would like us to answer that question. If Joseph serves as the type of Christ, why did he act the way he acted with the hiding of the silver cup? And I want us to discover the answer under three simple considerations from the story. The first one is Joseph's test to his brothers. And then secondly, Judah's appeal to his brother Joseph. And then thirdly, we'll consider what Judah offers to the whole world. So first, I want us to consider Joseph's test to his brothers. You know, this incident took place in the middle of the process where Joseph was calling his brothers to repentance. You need to keep in mind that to this point, Joseph didn't reveal his identity to his brothers. And Joseph, in this story, was used by God's providence, to minister to his brothers, to be like Christ towards his brothers, to call them to true repentance, to call them to true realization of the sin that they have committed against their brother and against God. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17. This is what he said in the middle of confessing his sin before the Lord. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not please it with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You see, Joseph was looking for this kind of repentance in the heart and in the mind of his brothers. It has been more than 20 years since they sold Joseph to Egypt. And he put them under several tests before this. He told them that they were spies in the land, and they denied that. He accused them for stealing some of his money when they went back to Egypt, and they denied that. But he also tested them by giving more portion around the table, remember, more portion to Benjamin than the others, and they passed that test. Now Joseph incorporates this interesting but strange test to his brothers, the hiding of the silver cup. And you need to ask why. Why did Joseph test his brothers in this way? Remember, his goal, his mission was to find out where the level of their repentance was. Have they changed in 20 years of time? Are they different people? Are they going to throw Benjamin, my brother Benjamin, under the bus? Are they going to express any sense of compassion towards their brother, or they're still the same people? That's what Joseph was trying to accomplish. Remember in Mark chapter 1 verse 15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." God's people, the central factor of true restoration with God is brokenness. If a person is not broken, if the person doesn't come to God with a contrite heart, with a remorse about what he did in the eyes of God and towards other people, unless that person is broken, like King David in Psalm 51, then true restoration will never take place. Brokenness is the way to true restoration. And Joseph was looking for that kind of restoration and repentance in the life of his brothers. This time, the hiding of the silver cup in the sack of Benjamin. So the question is why? Why it seems inconsistent to the nature of Christ's heart? Well, remember, Joseph was not putting his brothers through this kind of test in order to take revenge on them. He was not doing what he was doing with the silver cup in order to bring harm on his brothers. This was not the time for Joseph to pay back to their brothers. This was like a ministry of Jesus Christ towards sinners. He was calling his brothers to repentance, to see the level of their repentance. And when the silver gold was found in Benjamin's sack, as I said earlier, are they going to throw my brother under the bus, or they will show me that they are really a transformed and changed people? You see, my friends, sometimes God puts us in a situation like this, in a situation that was not expected, in a situation that we might think is not fair, in a situation that we also think is unreasonable. God purposely sometimes leaves us in a situation like this for this reason: to show us the real nature of our hearts. Jesus told his disciples, "One of you will betray me." And Peter steps in, bold man, with self-confidence. He said to Jesus, "Even if this man deny you, fall away, I will never fall away. Even if it's necessary, I will die for you." And Jesus told him, "Peter, this very night, you are going to deny me three times. Peter, I want you to see the real nature of your heart. Peter, you are speaking to me out of your own confidence on yourself. You are full of pride, Peter. You are full of self-confidence. And I want you to see the real nature of your heart. A young girl will come to you and she will say to you, 'You are one of his disciples.' And you will say, 'I have never known this man. I don't know him.' And then, Peter, you will go outside and you will cry bitterly. You will see your pride. After that, you will be restored to me because I have prayed for you. But Peter, first, I want you to see the real nature of your heart. The spiritual problem that you are having in your life as my follower. Isn't that what happened to Peter? That's exactly what happened to Peter. He was restored, my friends, after he was exposed to the real nature of his heart. Now come back to the brothers of Joseph. When the silver cup was found in Benjamin's sack, the first thing they did was throwing Benjamin under the bus. No. Blaming Benjamin. No. The first thing they did was they tore their clothes. In the Old Testament, that was an outwardly evidence of sorrow, of sin. They were repenting. The ministry of Joseph through the Spirit of God was bearing fruit. For the first time in their life, these brothers were sorrowful about their own sin. They were not in a position of blaming other people for their sin. They tore their clothes. And then they load their donkeys and they went to the city. With who? With Benjamin. To do what? To plead Joseph on behalf of their brother. That's brokenness. No one was blaming anyone, but everyone was sorrowful of his own sin. And Joseph stood before them and he said to them, "What have you done?" And then listen to Judah on behalf of all the brothers. This is Judah. Judah who sold his brother to Egypt. Judah who abandoned the woman who was pregnant from him. Who even tried to kill the unborn child in her womb. This is Judah. But now, a changed man. Now, a transformed man. And he said to Joseph, "How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants." See what Judah is doing? He's saying, "Lord, the prime minister of Egypt, we know that we didn't steal the silver cup. I'm convinced that we haven't stolen that silver cup. But I know one thing. I know that we all are guilty of sin. There are many, many sins that are standing against us. And all these sins that we have committed against God, against our brother, they can put us away. We can be punished forever. How can we justify ourselves before you? We are guilty sinners." See, they were broken. They were repenting. Are you learning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the way to restoration? True restoration is brokenness. But you see, real brokenness doesn't justify itself. Pride always justifies itself. If a person is unwilling to repent, if the person is unwilling to go to the Lord and acknowledge his sin and be broken in the presence of God, he makes excuses for his own sin. Like what Adam did. "The woman made me do it." In a sense, Adam was saying, "You created this woman. She deceived me." You know, if anyone should be blamed for this sin, you know, he didn't say it, you know, word by word, "It's you. I'm not to be blamed here. You're the creator. You gave me this woman and she made me do it." That's pride. And that's not a way to restoration. But the brothers, you see, they didn't do this, they were saying, we are guilty. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. You see, Paul, when he made that statement, he was not trying to gain favor in the life of the listeners. He was not trying to make people say, oh, Paul, you know, I am sorry. You know, we sympathize with you. No, no, no. It was a true brokenness. Peter was saying, if there is anyone who is a chief sinner among all the children of God, it is Paul. It's me. Is that you? Are you broken of your own sin, your own guilty? Or you sometimes point your finger at others and pass judgment at the life of other people, ignoring your own sin? You are not broken. If you are broken, you will never have time to criticize other people. You deal with your own sin because you are broken. And then that brings us to Judas' appeal to Joseph. You see, Judah, this brother of Joseph, who committed great sin against his brother, now broken, now transformed, now a changed person, he said to Joseph in verse 16, he said this, and Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servant. Behold, you are my Lord's servants, both we and he also. In his hand the cup has been found. And Joseph said, far it be from me. I'm not going to do that. Judah basically asked Joseph, take us all and make us your servants. Not the youngest brother, Rachel's son, who is really innocent, but punish the sinners. Take us as your slaves and let this young boy go to his father. You see, he's, for the first time in his life, he's caring for his father and brother. When they first left Egypt, when they first sold Joseph to Egypt, they didn't care about their father. No one cared about the father. No one cared about Joseph. For the first time in his life, now he is expressing love and care and compassion towards his father and his brother. And then in verse 33 comes this wonderful readiness and a sense of not only confession, but also great Christian love towards his brother. Judah said to Joseph in verse 33, for your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. Notice the word instead. Judah said for the first time in his life, Lord, take the place of my brother. Let me take the place of my brother. Let me a substitute of my brother. And if there is any punishment because of this guilt, because of this sin, let me take it. That's the picture of what Jesus did for you, God's people. Jesus said to his father, let me take their place. Let me become their substitute and go to the cross and die on behalf of the elect, on behalf of your people. Judah, for the first time in his life, is reflecting to us the love and the ministry of Jesus Christ towards his brothers. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, Judah was reflecting the ministry of Christ towards his brothers. My friends, do you follow the example of Christ? Do you follow the example of Judah in your Christian life? Do you say, "Let my brother so-and-so, my sister so-and-so go ahead of me and receive this blessing"? Do you go to the throne of grace with prayer, wishing good and divine blessing upon other people, your brothers and sisters in Christ? That's what Judah did on behalf of his brother. And lastly, and this is amazing, lastly, what Judah offers to the whole world. Now remember, Judah repented. Judah was broken. Judah was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He obeyed the call of God to repentance through his brother Joseph, who was the type of Christ. And after his brokenness, do you know God used Judah greatly in the unfolding of the purpose of salvation? In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus Christ is called the Lion of Judah. Judah becomes the Lion from which the Messiah will come. He becomes the father of Christ, from where Christ will be revealed to sinners. In Micah 5:2, we read this, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clan of" who? The clan of Judah. "From you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." You see, Judah is included in the scripture as the line from where Jesus Christ, our Savior, will come. Remember all the things that Judah did. He abandoned Tamar. He tried to kill the baby in her womb. He sold his brother Joseph to Egypt. He didn't love his father. He didn't care for his father and brother. But then he repented. He repented. And from his line came Jesus. Now, my friends, how do you explain that? Remember all his sins. And now see what the Lord is doing through this man. What is the explanation? Grace. Amazing grace. This man was lost in his own sin. God found him through the ministry of his brother. He was broken. He repented. And now the grace of God is using him to become a lion through which, from which the Messiah will come to the whole world. Listen to all of you. If you are broken before the Lord, if you have a contrite heart in the presence of God, if you are humble enough to say to God, "I'm guilty. There is no righteousness in me. I'm a sinner. Save me. I'm broken before your presence, O Lord." And then God will restore you to himself, but God will use you greatly for the work of his kingdom. God is pleased with the humble and broken spirit and broken heart. That's how he used Judah in the unfolding of the drama of redemption in the book of Genesis. Now let me ask you this so that you would go home and apply these things in your own life. Are you broken before the Lord, my friends? Are you broken before the Lord? Don't think about the person who is sitting beside you. Think about your own life. Are you broken before the Lord? Because of sin. Because of your guilt. Do you always think what is best for others? Like Judah? Let me take his place. Let me take her place. Let me serve the children of God by taking their trials, their hardship in life. Do you realize that God uses the broken heart, broken spirit for greater work in His kingdom? Do you realize that? God always chooses the humble, the insignificant, but broken spirit and heart for the greater work of His kingdom. I think our perfect example, I believe our perfect example is Jesus Christ Himself. You see, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, at the end of the chapter, Jesus reveals His own attributes to His people. And one of the attributes of Jesus in Matthew 11 is, I am humble. If the Maker of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, the second person of Trinity, if He is humble, think about following His example and become humble before the Lord. He will use you. God will use you greatly if you are broken before Him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, through Your message tonight, You reminded us that the way to restoration is brokenness. And tonight we pray that You would grant Your Holy Spirit to each and every one of us to follow the example of our Savior Jesus Christ and His humble heart, to follow the example of Judah, to be loving and caring towards others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh Lord, continue working in the heart and in the mind of each and every one of us, so that we always be broken by Your Spirit for a greater use of Your glory and the work of Your kingdom here on earth. Help us to take all these things, apply them in our Christian life with the help of Your Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand together, God's people, and we will respond to the preaching of the Word of God, to the sovereign grace of God, by singing hymn number 465, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, 465.